Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, except no substitute.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Billboard Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hey, Keith. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. Do anything exciting this past weekend?
Man, you know, just like feels like things are sort of getting normalish because I'm watching, you know, basketball on TV. So that's cool. There's a tournament going on, you know.
I watched, in exciting other television news, I watched the finale of UK Drag Race Season 2 last week.
Oh, very nice. I did not.
I won't spoil it for anyone, but make sure to catch up on it if you haven't. There is music in there because they do sing, so, you know, and they do lip sync, so, you know. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop, sometimes March Madness, occasionally drag queens, of course, on Billboard's charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news about how Cardi B's Up goes up to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart for the first time, and how Morgan Wallen meets Whitney Houston and Stevie Wonder in chart history on the Billboard 200 Albums chart.
Plus, we'll be talking all about Katy Perry's rumored Las Vegas residency. Is this the right move for Katy? What will it look like? What will it sound like? Who should do a residency next? We will talk about all that and much more. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Alrighty, let's do the chart chat. First up, Cardi B's Up rises up from number 6 to number 1. It's never going to get old on the Billboard Hot 100 to score its first week atop the list. The song, which becomes Cardi B's 5th Hot 100 number 1, debuted at number 2 5 weeks earlier and tallied 3 weeks at the runner-up spot before reaching the summit this week. The song was performed by Cardi as part of a medley during the March 14th Grammy Awards, aired on CBS, no doubt helping the song's activity for the week. The tune garnered 18,000 downloads sold in the U.S. in the week ending March 18th, which is up 96%, according to MRC data. The song also snared 22.7 million streams in the same period, which is actually down 5%. It also attracted 34.9 million in radio audience in the week ending March 21st, which was up 7%.
I have to say, I'm very happy for Olivia Rodrigo and her massive, you know, debut number one song, spending so much time, you know, at the top of the Hot 100. But it's fun to have some new people. You know, Drake and Cardi are not new to number one, but it's fun to have some new songs at number one, you know, and shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Shake it up. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, as Katie just said, you know, Cardi is no stranger to number one. She's been at number one before with Bodak Yellow, Money Moves. I Like It with Bad Bunny and J Balvin. Girls Like You, which was credited to Maroon 5, featuring Cardi B. And WAP, featuring Megan Thee Stallion. Next up, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Morgan Wallen's Dangerous, the double album, may have heard of it, hits double digits at number one on the Billboard 200 as the set spins its 10th week atop the list. It arrived at number one 9 weeks ago on the chart dated January 23rd and has yet to budge from the top. And in doing so, Dangerous is the first album to spend its first 10 weeks on the chart at number one since 1987. More on that in just a second. The album also continues to have the most total weeks at number one since Drake's Views spent 13 non-consecutive weeks in the lead in 2016. Dangerous earned 69,000 equivalent album units in the U.S. in the week ending March 18th, which was down 11%. Dangerous is the first album to spend its first 10 weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 since 1987, when Whitney Houston's Whitney album logged all 11 of its weeks at number one from its debut week. So it debuted at number one and then spent 11 weeks in a row at number one and then never went back to number one. Before Whitney, the only other album to spend its first 10 weeks at number one on the chart, which began regularly publishing as a weekly chart in March of 1956, was Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. It spent its first 13 weeks on the chart at number one of a total of 14 non-consecutive weeks at number one from late 1976 to early 1977. If you may be wondering, charts fans out there, if you may be wondering, is just 10 weeks in a row at number one kind of a big deal? The last album to just have 10 weeks in a row at number one, period, not necessarily from its debut week, was Adele's 21, which had 10 weeks in a row in 2012 of its total 24 non-consecutive weeks at number one. And obviously Adele's 21 did not spend its first 10 weeks on the chart at number one. So have your eyes fully glazed over yet, Katie, about this
Morgan Wallen, Whitney Houston question. Okay. I have a question. Do you know yet whether there's anything that came out this past Friday that looks like a challenger to Dangerous for next week's chart?
I think what it's safe to say is that, you know, there are two big albums by two artists who have previously been number one on the Billboard 200, who released albums last Friday. Lana Del Rey's Chemtrails Over the Country Club and Justin Bieber's new album, Justice. So I think it's probably safe to assume that most people would expect that either of them could possibly get a number one. But, yeah, you know, the week is young. We shall see.
We'll see what chart prognosticators think as the week moves on.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to be in that business.
Yes.
Well, lastly, staying with the Billboard 200, Dua Lipa, hey, friend of the podcast, Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Her album Future Nostalgia actually gets a big Grammy Awards bump as the set hits a new peak on the chart, rising 6-3 with 37,000 units, which is up 27%. The album surpasses its original chart high of number 4, which was achieved in its debut frame basically a year ago on the April 11th, 2020 chart. Future Nostalgia won the Grammy Award for Pop Vocal Album during the televised broadcast. And while she also performed two Future Nostalgia songs on the show, Levitating featuring DaBaby and Don't Start Now. Also, one other thing in the top 10, a big Grammy gain for Taylor Swift's former number one Folklore. Of course, the album took home the award for Album of the Year at the Grammys. The album jumps 29 to 10 on this week's chart, earning 28,000 units, which was up 59%.
Well, we would love to talk about the fact that Katy Perry is rumored to be planning a residency at a brand new casino/resort on the Las Vegas Strip. Billboard reported last week that the residency will begin later this year and run into 2022. And her new home will reportedly be the theater at Resorts World, which will hold 5,000 fans.
Where is this place going to be on the Strip, by the way?
I actually don't know like what it's between. Let's go ahead and look.
I feel like
though.
I saw something on the web where it was like at the far end of the Strip, like the other end of the Strip.
Let's look.
Like, because so for people, for those listening at home, if you haven't been to Vegas, one end of the Strip is kind of where most of the action is at: MGM, Mandalay Bay, Monte Carlo. And then as you go farther towards the other direction, it gets a little bit more sparse. I feel like that's where this resort is going to be. I think it's going to be at the other end of the Strip.
Oh, it was where the Stardust was, Keith.
Well, where was the Stardust at?
Yeah, the Stardust was right next to Frontier, across the street from the Wynn.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
pretty
far
down.
So that is way out there. It's way out there. And apparently, according to Colin's article on Billboard.com, it is the first new from the ground up casino on the Vegas Strip in more than a decade. So there have been other new things that have taken over old locations, but this is the first one that they're building from scratch in more than a decade. So very interesting. Wow. That's a whole other really interesting aspect. There's a lot of actually interesting music biz angles of this, like AEG is a partner in the theater, et cetera. So they're going to help, you know, bring some big name artists in there and help book it. But Katy Perry is rumored to be the first name to come out of this. Of course, she has not announced this herself yet. That's why I'm using all these rumored and reportedlies, even though we have this on good authority. You know, until it comes out of Katy's mouth, we're, you know, just hedging our bets here, you know, like people do in Las Vegas. But we basically had a lot of questions coming out of this. Keith and I both have spent a lot of time in Las Vegas to cover the Billboard Music Awards, to cover the iHeartRadio Music Festival. Right. Yeah, so like we've been
also
there a
lot. Also just to randomly go to see shows.
Yep, exactly.
Including residencies.
So we definitely have like a little special interest in this, but my first question is, and my first discussion point is that I just want to know, like, do we think this is the correct career move for Katy Perry at this moment and stage in her career right now?
Yeah, one of the first things I thought of was that, oh, well, she just had a baby. When Britney had her kids, Britney Spears had her kids, I think she probably thought like the Vegas move was like a good thing because it could keep her in one place with her kids. I think Celine Dion, I think that was one of the reasons why I think she wanted to do her residency originally, because it kept her in one place.
I don't know if all those people, they didn't have as new of a baby as Katy does, but they all were parents. And actually, Colin and I looked into this when we were working on the article.
Oh, okay.
The Backstreet Boys also are all parents. Nick and his wife actually had their baby at the hospital in Las Vegas because they were living there while he was doing the Backstreet residency. Yes, I'm sorry, Nick Carter. And so, yes, it makes so much sense for a pop star parent to set up shop in one place, get all the benefits of touring without physically having to move yourself around place to place with a small child or a child, period. Makes a lot of
sense. Katy already lives in Los Angeles or the Los Angeles area anyways, I believe. So it wouldn't be, she could in theory have a palatial place in Vegas for part of the time and also be able to like jet home frequently, you know, to LA if she needs to.
Which is what we've learned a lot of these people have done as well. We mentioned Britney, you know, the casino resort typically puts these people up in their biggest penthouse situation at the hotel. But of course they're doing, you know, maybe 2 to 3 concerts a week, maybe more, maybe less. And so they spend the time there that they're performing and working, but then they go home and it's easy to go home. It's just like commuting. You know, a lot of us have an hour commute in Los Angeles. So might as well have your hour commute in the air instead. Right.
Right.
So, yes, I totally agree with that. And as a mom myself, that was the very first thing I thought of. And then I started kind of drawing lines between Katy Perry and Jennifer Lopez specifically, because it's interesting to note that they both also have gone the American Idol judge route and the Las Vegas residency route, and actually in that same order. J-Lo started as an Idol judge, then went to a Vegas residency, and Katy's doing that order. Now, comparing where they were age-wise, which doesn't necessarily show where they are in their career, but just for, you know, comparison. Katie's 35 right now. J-Lo's 51. And when J-Lo started on Idol, it was 2011. So that was exactly 10 years ago. So she was 41. So obviously Katie started at Idol about 10 years, a little less than 10 years than earlier than J-Lo did, as far as like where she is in life. So I was just looking at that because it's interesting that they had specifically those two things in common. And obviously it's been nothing but good for Jennifer Lopez, I think, if we look at it that way, far as, you know, continuing her legacy and just being a big display for the many hits she has had over the years. And Katie's had even bigger ones, you know, over her shorter career.
Shade, Katie.
Has she not literally, charts manager Keith, had bigger hits than Jennifer Lopez?
Look, we are not here to compare the chart legacies of Jennifer Lopez and Katy Perry. But yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. And, you know, it could be, if this is something that Katy's going to do, it would be probably to her a very, you know, logical move that could generate her a lot of money without having to like leave Southern California, Las Vegas area.
Yeah. And so, having already mentioned J-Lo, first of all, I should say I saw the Jennifer Lopez residency.
As did Keith.
And as when you look at that one, J-Lo really leaned into like her dancing and her sex appeal as like a showgirl, you know, burlesque almost kind of show. She has like an actual literal burlesque number that goes on in the middle of her show. And so I'm wondering what we think Katie's will look like, because obviously I feel like looking just at Katie's music videos over the year, I'm seeing like, you know, candy explosions, or looking at her Super Bowl halftime, you know, just like silly, colorful, super visual, super just like like a huge production is right. What I'm envisioning for her.
I think the other thing to remember is that, and you already said this, is that this casino and the theater is the first resort casino thing that is being built new on the Strip in a decade. Therefore, much like when they built the Coliseum at Caesars, or I guess even like the Wynn, they can make it like super custom, state-of-the-art, specifically designed for maybe the artists that are going to be the first to play that venue. So, you know, this gives Katie or any others, if Katie is going to be the person, the opportunity to help like launch technology and visuals and elements that we've never seen before on stage, which would go perfect with her very kind of, you know, bright and colorful and kind of, you know, mesmerizing kind of graphics that she's always done, you know, for her career. I think that could be like a really great thing if you think about it.
Yeah, she's obviously a visual artist, so you're right, the fact that she could actually have input going into it as opposed to retrofitting something for a space makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and then, the best residencies are the ones where you feel like it's something unique and special to Vegas, as opposed to someone just bringing their touring show into Vegas, you know?
Well, like what we were talking about, J-Lo. We'll just keep talking about J-Lo since we both saw
sure.
it. But
it's a
literally
show.
literally has a stage that is shaped in the letters J-Lo.
Like, yeah, I stood right next to the O when I saw her. It was great.
That's a great seat, or a great standing location.
It was,
I definitely had a seat.
It's amazing. I was literally, J-Lo's heel was in front of me. It was amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I've got pictures. I can tell you, I can show you later. It's great.
I also was just thinking from a super practical standpoint, you know, everybody's talking very hypothetically about concerts and touring and festivals right now in the U.S. at least. Other places are already out there doing it, but you know, a lot of people are looking at the fall, setting, you know, festival dates for September. But this feels like the most responsible and easiest way, as far as the artist goes, to kind of do a concert in a post COVID-19 world where her entire bubble of people that she's interacting with and working with are the same in the same space day after day after day after day. There's a lot of trust there. There's a lot of safety in that, you know. I made a note, though, as long as she doesn't do meet and greets every night like Britney right. used to do in Vegas, you know.
Right.
So But yeah. Just looking at it from that standpoint, it feels like it could be like a really the most responsible way to kind of dip your toe back into performing.
Yeah. I mean, also in just general, it's going to be just it's weird to even think about being in group settings again, full stop. It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting just to see it when and if this actually gets announced, when it actually will start. Like,
yeah.
I think a lot of shows are now scheduled for definitively, like, people have scheduled like August, September for like a lot of shows.
I mean, we're
so
talking about Vegas.
Then.
Life is Beautiful is on the books for September in wow. Las Vegas. So, and I think I've seen photos. Vegas is kind of up and running as it is right now. So, you know, do with that what you will. But
Vegas, baby. What stays in Vegas or what happens in Vegas probably leaves with you on the airplane to go back
probably,
home.
Probably definitely does not stay there. Also, they're saying that it's going to be late 2021, but as Keith said, like, we will wait and see. But it's interesting to think that they're building it right now. It's like, are they going to make the seats a little farther apart maybe in this post-pandemic situation? Give people a little more space? I don't know. Like, make couches or pods that you can be with people you already know, or who knows? Like, there's lots of things that they could do thinking, you know, with that in mind. But I digress.
Yeah.
You know, we've kind of touched on this, I think, with, you know, mentioning a few artists, but I feel like as early as like 10 years ago, even the residency had kind of a reputation for being, you know, a Donny and Marie Osmond sort of, you
Wayne
know,
Newton,
space.
Everybody.
Wayne Newton. There were people who like definitely owned in that space, but it wasn't exactly a career move. It was like the end of the line for a career is what the reputation once was. I'm wondering, Keith, does, in your mind, the residency have a completely new reputation now, given the last decade plus?
I think yes, and I think most people would agree, and I don't think that's like a difficult answer. And I think, you know, because you have so many contemporary artists who are still relevant and making new, compelling music that is very popular and current, I think that's a nice, and you can have those people along with the blend of heritage and veteran acts that also are on the strip as well. I'm like, there's something kind of for everyone in Vegas, whether you're like, you know, a 21-year-old or an 81-year-old. There's going to be something for you.
Yep. And I think Lady Gaga is a great example, too, because, I mean, she was literally doing the Las Vegas residency at the same time as she was scooping up an Oscar for A Star Is Born. I mean, like, you can't, you know, get more relevant or current or, you know, working in the midst of, you know, everything. I feel like she just showed that you can do it at not only when your career is still chugging along, but like at the literal height of your career, you know?
And then after that, she ended up getting another number one album with Chromatica and another number one single with Rain On Me with Ariana on the Hot 100.
And a new Grammy. A new Grammy, too, with Ari.
There you go. Did you see the Lady Gaga residency?
I did not. Man, did I want to. She actually had two different ones. There was like a piano night kind of thing that was like jazzier. And then she had her like super pop forward Enigma one. And I did not get to see either of them. They were very short lived. And I think that is something that would have continued a few more dates had it not been for
Never
the
know.
Pandemic.
It could always come back.
It could. Speaking of which, Keith made a few notes about some residencies that, you know, were happening or were in the works when COVID struck. I remember Kelly Clarkson was supposed to host the Billboard Music Awards last spring, and then it was all going to be part of, like, launching her, like, brand new residency at the same time. It was supposed to start in April 2020. Not a great time to start a new concert situation at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. And Planet Hollywood is where Britney's residency was forever as well. But as evidenced by her talk show and her Kelly-oke and people just demanding to see her sing anything because her voice is so incredible, it's a perfect fit in my mind for Kelly to pick that back up where she left off. Who are some other people, Keith?
Some of the other people that had at least some new residencies that were scheduled but never actually got off the ground but are still, I think, going to happen. Sting had a residency called My Songs. It was supposed to open last year. Now it's scheduled to start in October. And Usher has a residency that's going to be at the Coliseum, which starts right now on July 16th is the date that it's supposed to start. So who knows if that will get pushed back.
We shall see. I just wanted to wrap this conversation by thinking about, you know, we know that Katie's rumored, but like, who else would we love to see in a residency? And I feel like there's some pipe dream ones. You know my love for Justin Timberlake, and I would love to see him do a residency in Las Vegas. I feel like with his focus maybe a little more on acting than music, that I can't see him doing that just yet. But like I said, Lady Gaga was picking up an Oscar when she did hers, so never say never. So that's a total possibility.
If the money's right, you can make anything happen.
Yeah. How about you? Who would you like to see, Keith?
I was thinking, well, I guess I was thinking of this in terms of like who would be like the, putting aside my personal desires, I think someone who, like, you'd have to think who's an incredibly visual artist that can really adapt to kind of like the razzle dazzle showmanship of Vegas. And I thought of Beyonce and Rihanna. Neither one of them are hurting for cash, so I doubt they will ever probably, you know, do it. But if they ever entertained the idea of, you know, doing another tour, maybe they would think, well, you know what? I could do Vegas, jet in for a certain number of days, do some groundbreaking visuals, as both of them are apt to do in general. And if you're an artist as big as Beyonce or Rihanna, you could call the shots as to like what the venue does for you to make it custom to you and to make it an immersive 3D experience. You know, I mean, who knows what they could do? So, I mean, I think those would be amazing, amazing gets for anyone in Vegas at it for a residency.
Yeah. And I mean, the word residency is really ill-defined as well. So you don't need to be doing like every week, you know, you don't need to be putting in shows all the time. You mentioned in our script, Billy Joel doing a quote unquote residency at Madison Square Garden. And that means he shows up once a month, does a show, which great. He lives in New York. Sounds like a plan. Whereas, and the comparison you made was like, what if Barbara Streisand were to make a similar deal? I mean, knowing how popular Celine was in Vegas and being, you know, this incredible vocalist and show woman and having all these massive songs over the years, Barbara at Caesars, my God, like it would be perfect.
She doesn't tour very often, and whenever she has toured, she's been very frank, saying, "Yeah, I'm doing it so I could buy this new painting. I'm doing it so I can," because she doesn't need the money. So,
right,
if she could do something where she can just jet in from Malibu on a Friday night, play one show a month, and each seat is like $750 or something ridiculous, and she's like, "Yeah, I'll take this cash and go buy a new house, you know, or whatever." For every show.
Whatever she needs.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that would be perfect. Well, okay. In conclusion, we really hope this Katy Perry thing is a reality, because
what's the show going to be called? Waking Up in Vegas?
Oh, I mean, it's sitting right there waiting for her. I mean, that's the opening number all day. Like, that is the opening number every single time, for sure.
Wow. That would be a hit-filled show. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about it. I mean, like, I literally said in our script, like, she should just do Teenage Dream front to back every night, in addition to all of her hits. Like, the woman has songs, and like, they're fun, super high energy songs. There wouldn't be a dull moment in that set.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Katie,
and
let's
Keith
make
and
it
I
want to
go. We want to go.
KDA wants to see KDP.
Yeah.
In the
Maybe
LV.
We'll bring KDB along, too.
KDB. Katie Bane, everybody. All right. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. These dreams go on when I close my eyes. Every second of the night, I live another life. 35 years ago this week, the rock band Heart hit number one for the first time on the Hot 100 with the ballad These Dreams. The song spent 1 week atop the chart, dated March 22nd, 1986. These Dreams was part of a remarkable comeback for the band in the mid-1980s, led by sisters Ann and Nancy Wilson. After a string of hit singles in the late 1970s and early 1980s with songs like Crazy on You and Barracuda, the group was in a commercial slump by 1984. The act's final album for Epic Records, 1983's Passion Works, became their lowest charting album on the Billboard 200 to date at that point, and none of its singles cracked the top 40 of the Hot 100. The band signed with Capitol Records for their next album, shifted their sound and visual style to the high gloss of MTV at the time, and brought in outside songwriters to work on their music with them. These were all decisions the sisters later said they agreed to, quote, reluctantly at the time, according to an interview that Anne did with Rolling Stone in 2016. But the gamble actually paid off. Their self-titled 1985 album became their first and only number one on the Billboard 200 that year, and it spawned four top 10 Hot 100 hits, including the number one, These Dreams, which was written by Martin Page and Bernie Taupin. Hart's hot streak continued with their next two albums, 1987's Bad Animals, which reached number two on the Billboard 200, and 1990's Brigade, which hit number three. Combined, the three albums generated 10 top 40 charting hits on the Hot 100, including another number one, the epic 1987 power ballad Alone. Hart last hit the Hot 100 in 1994, but the band continued to record and release new music, while Anne and Nancy also branched out on their own with solo endeavors and side projects. The band's most recent studio album, Beautiful Broken, was released in 2016 and debuted in the top 10 of the Top Rock Albums chart. So there you have it. 35 years ago this week, Hart was number one on the Hot 100 with These Dreams.
These dreams go on when I close my eyes. Every second of the night, I live another life.
All right. There was your longish Hart stat, but I love Hart. So I'm all for it.
You know what? You know what it made me think of? It's like, they're one of my favorite groups that like has two very distinct periods like that, like the very rock sound in the beginning and the way more pop sound in the 80s, where I love them equally in those different iterations. You know what I mean?
And you and I both probably learned about them from their 80s material first.
Actually.
No?
Oh. Classic rock radio. My dad is classic rock guy all day, so like Barracuda, Magic Man, Crazy on You, those are the first Hart songs I knew.
I learned about them because of Alone and These Dreams and What About Love. And I was so tickled when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony was in Los Angeles one year for some reason.
Oh, wow.
And I covered the red carpet for Billboard, and that was the year Hart was being inducted. And I talked to Anne and Nancy on the red carpet.
Oh, my
God. I lost my marbles.
Oh, my God. We could do a whole show about them, I think.
Hey, Anne and Nancy, if you want to be on the podcast, feel free to give us a ring.
Yeah, let's hit them up.
Should we go out on another Hart song while we're at it?
Please, let's just cram as much Hart in this episode as we can.
Do you want to go out on one of their classic 70s tunes that you love?
Yeah, let's just go for Barracuda.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Barracuda.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.